Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And let's start with the news from this morning that Governor Charlie Baker has announced sweeping changes at the Department of Children and Families.
They follow the tragic deaths and abuse of children who'd been involved with DCF, including 2.5-year-old Bella Bond, whose body was found on Deer Island. She was allegedly murdered by her mother's boyfriend.
DCF's fundamental purpose is to keep kids safe. Let me repeat that. The work that will be done from this point forward will focus on one major objective, to keep kids safe.
In a moment, we'll get reaction from a child advocate and from the union that represents the social workers.
But first, WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown was at the announcement this morning with the governor, and he's with us now. Hi, Steve. Good to have you.
Hi, Anthony.
So give us the big changes here that the governor has proposed for DCF. What's he calling for?
Well, he wants to speed up the implementation of many things that were proposed in a report written last year by the Child Welfare League of America. The number one recommendation is updating the agency's intake policy from when an allegation of abuse or neglect is filed through the substantiation of a claim and the opening of a case. The governor says that policy hasn't been updated in 12 years. He says a new policy will be put into place by the middle of November. They're also putting in place a new supervisor policy, which will spell out mandated steps for case review and when frontline social workers will need to bring their supervisors onto a case. They're also reinstating the DCF's central regional office to oversee the cases in the central part of the state. Now, that region had been combined into the Western Mass region as a cost-cutting move following the 2008 recession. Governor Baker acknowledged that this isn't the first attempt to reform the department.
Despite all of the reports and studies that have been done over the past decade concerning shortcomings at DCF, there has not been a coordinated, sustained effort to bake improvements and reforms into the daily operations of the department. The mission statement has been confusing, and in the absence of an overall playbook concerning all aspects of case practice, very hard to deliver on.
So, Steve, the governor said there the mission has been confusing. I gather he's referring there to competing missions at DCF, right?
Yes, there has been a desire to keep families together, and many have wondered if that objective may have gotten in the way of keeping the kids safe. DCF Commissioner Linda Spears addressed that dilemma during today's news conference.
For me, you don't do one or the other. You keep children safe first and foremost. And then, if that can be done by strengthening a family, great. If it can't, no. But really, people have put one above the other at times. That strengthening families, I think, has meant compromise and safety.
So, Steve, Charlie Baker isn't the first governor who's tried to reform DCF. What are folks saying? Do they believe that the reforms will work this time around?
Well, the governor says that the proposed reforms have the buy-in from the Service Employees International Union, which represents the frontline DCF social workers. Peter McKinnon, the DCF chapter president of the union, says in the past, the department and its predecessor, the Department of Social Services, pursued patchwork attempts at reform that did little more than create confusion. McKinnon says he believes that once the new reforms are put in place, the changes will help turn the tide and bring DCF back to its core mission to protect children.
All right. What about response to the reforms from folks up on Beacon Hill?
Well, the governor and the lieutenant governor have been meeting with House and Senate leaders over the past hour, and they should be wrapping up soon. But before that meeting, Senate President Stan Rosenberg issued a statement welcoming the reforms. He noted that many problems with the department began following budget cuts that were made in response to the 2008 budget crisis. He says the state needs to commit itself during strong economic times to break the pattern of underfunding.
All right. WBUR's Steve Brown reporting for us from the State House. Steve, thanks.
Thanks, Anthony.
Well, let's get two more views on this now. We're joined in the studio by Peter McKinnon. He's DCF Chapter President of the Massachusetts Human Service Workers Union, SEIU Local 509. Peter McKinnon, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Susan Bartley, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Children's Trust Fund, a public-private partnership that promotes parenting education to improve the lives of children. Susan Bartley, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So, Peter, I just want to just drive straight forward to this issue of mission confusion that we heard the governor talk about, that there may have been some sort of tension between protecting children's safety and strengthening families. How much of a problem has that been at DCF?
I think he summed it up quite well in that term of mission confusion. In child protection, there is always a pendulum that swings between working to keep children at home when you can, and protecting children at all costs. And when you're too far on either side of those issues, you're either leaving kids in unsafe situations when they should be removed, or you're removing kids from their family when they don't really need to be removed. And unfortunately, our agency, and this is not unique to Massachusetts, swung, I think, too far towards the family preservation side, and that became too much of a focus of the agency.
And do you think today's changes swing the pendulum more towards the children, or adequately enough towards the children's safety side, or possibly even too much?
I think it brings us back to a conversation about our core mission, which is protecting children.
Okay. Well, Susan Bartley, let me get your reaction to that. I mean, can these two things be effectively reconciled?
Yes, I think the things that I heard today in terms of increasing supervision, increasing paraprofessionals, my concern, of course, will be with the training that goes on and continues. This can't be just a one-shot, you know, deal, but really looking and paying a lot of attention to the data. Mm. But I think at the end of the day, you can't just look at what you do when families present as so dysfunctional that you have to go in and remove a child.
Right. So, I mean, because so that's a really important point because, mm-hmm. you know, when we're talking about people are concerned about the safety of a child, in a way, like, we've already gone too far down that path. So do you hear anything in today's announcements from the governor's office that say, okay, well, DCF will be looking at child safety, but also are there systems in place or can be put in place so that we don't get to that point where a child's fundamental safety is at concern?
I think when we are confronted by horrible tragedies, we focus on how could we do something different about that tragedy, and we fail to really look at how do we prevent parents, children, from being that dysfunctional that they need to end up in the Department of Children and Families.
Well, let me just jump in here for a second, because what about what we heard today about reforming sort of the intake system, the 51A, is that what mm-hmm. it's called, Peter?
Correct, yes.
The system that hadn't been reformed for some time, that mm-hmm. Now it looks like going forward, whenever attention is brought to a family situation, for example, a parent's ability to even effectively parent will be part of the intake process, measuring that will be.
Yeah, correct. And really what happened is the existing policy has elements of that. So it's not to say that was absent from the policy. What was absent from the policy was a clear set of expectations on how to analyze the data that was in front of you as an investigator and as a social worker to understand what it means in the context of that family. So the step today was not about reinventing the wheel per se, but it was putting more guidelines in place to understand better how to use the data in front of you about the child that you're looking at.
Right. And Susan, I jumped in there because, I mean, you're a child advocate, and part of me reads what the governor put out today as laudable, but also kind of obvious. You know, the reinstating the Worcester office part, where so many of these cases were coming from that part of the
Correct.
State. So great, but shouldn't it have been done a long time ago?
Yes, I think everyone's clear it should have been done a long time ago. I think everyone's also clear that the conversation needs to include how do we get in there and work with parents prenatally or at the time of birth to really work with them to make sure that they have the skills, the information, the community resources, the connection to be able to do what is a pretty difficult job. What we see with these families that have domestic violence, mental health issues, substance abuse issues, is that we oftentimes are not in there in time. And it takes a tragedy or it takes a certain high level of dysfunction for these families to even get into the Department of Children and Families.
But so it's actually, if I may, it sounds like what you're saying is potentially a widening of the scope of what DCF looks at?
No, I don't think DCF should be looking at it. I think that there are community-based organizations that are out there. I know that we fund a in-home parent coaching program for first-time, very vulnerable teen parents who themselves, over half, were involved with the Department of Children and Families when they were growing up in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. By getting in there early with a trained home visitor, we've had remarkable outcomes such as lowering the use of risky behavior, including alcohol and marijuana, less corporal punishment. So it's especially when we understand that 0 to 3 is when the bulk of the brain develops, too much trauma, too much stress, that little brain is shutting down and not making those connections.
Right.
It's how do we get in there right at the very beginning?
Well, Peter, let me turn back to you for a moment because you represent several thousand, around 3,000 DCF employees.
Sure.
And, of course, you were there today with Governor Baker as the announcements were made. Mm-hmm. How much input did you and the union of those employees actually have in this new plan?
Well, that's the nice thing about this plan and this administration. We haven't finalized it yet. We set a goal of what we're going to do and the broad strokes of how we're going to fix it, but it will be frontline workers sitting down with the administration to work on the fine details of the plan to figure out how we're going to do it, what the nuts and bolts of the plan are going to be, and that's very different from previous administrations.
So quick question that I would love both of you to give us a brief answer to wrap up with, because I'm thinking of a caller who called in last week when we were talking about Bella Bond, and she was just full of this emotional anger saying, why do children have to die before something gets done? So if you could briefly, do you think that today's announcements actually in a tangible way get us closer to a Massachusetts where another Bella Bond case does not happen?
I'm encouraged by today. And for 30 years, frontline workers have been saying these reforms are needed. We shouldn't have had to say it for 30 years. But now the difference is we're actually sitting down to do the work to change the system. So that gives me hope.
Susan Bartley?
It gives me hope. But at the same time, I am concerned that there was a huge failure and that we didn't have someone available to that mother as bad and as difficult and as, you know, you'd like to slap her. But at the same time, no one was there, no eyes. Mm-hmm. There wasn't that level of prevention early on.
Susan Bartley is the executive director of the Massachusetts Children Trust Fund. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Peter McKinnon, DCF chapter president of SEIU Local 509. Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, Berklee College of Music president Roger Brown on what it takes to make a successful music career in 2015. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.